Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Louis D'Souza and Uona Thiessen. Today is Monday, March the 23rd, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time. Wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we are happy to be cruising right along here in the midst of this so-called crisis that we refuse to treat like a crisis. But I have to admit, there are times where it kind of gets to you. That happened to me earlier today. I was kind of up against the wall. I kind of went into a sort of a semi-meltdown. Like, it was one of those points where, you know, you're out of alignment, you're not really feeling it, and everything starts to happen, and now you're really being challenged to try to remember what it is that you already know. And that's when I just kind of took a break. I started to meditate a little bit. Louise suggested take the rest of the day off. I did, and just tried to find things to feel good about. And then a little bit later, you sent your message to me that said you wanted the topic to be gratitude. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's exactly what was going on today. So as usual, a perfect topic.
Absolutely
perfect. And Louis, we both know that when it comes to being in alignment, sometimes we get knocked out. But you know, gratitude's a nice, easy way to get back in there. I mean, if you need to start someplace, right? That's a good place to start, isn't it?
I never get knocked out. What are you talking about?
Well, I meant people other than you. You're on a higher level plane of existence, you know.
Oh, I wish.
Well, actually, that's what we're aiming for, isn't it? To be on that higher level plane most of the time, or really all the time.
No, we're aiming to be in alignment a little more often, or get back into alignment quicker.
Well, that's true. Yes, better rather than perfect. I agree with that.
Yes. Yeah. We don't want to be there all the time, otherwise we will croak.
To quote Abraham Hicks. That is interesting, but that is their favorite way of describing death. And that is, they do it deliberately. I don't know if you knew that when you own it, but they actually call it croaking deliberately because they want to be as disrespectful to death as they can possibly be.
I see.
Basically, this thing that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Right. Okay. They want to encourage us to just let go of all the angst we have associated with it.
Got it.
Yeah. I loved it when somebody said to Abram, you know, this death thing is so scary and all the rest of it. And then Abram said, no, it isn't. And they said, well, how would you know? Well, that was the most amusing conversation I've ever
had. Oh my goodness! Yes. Well,
who do you think you're speaking to?
It's always fun to listen to an Abraham workshop, whether it's in person or recorded online, because the first 10-15 minutes are just chock full of humor, and then you add in somebody being in the hot seat and saying something like that, and Abraham coming back. And I mean, if you aren't laughing through like 2/3 of the workshop, you're probably dead because you're not paying any attention to the humor. I mean, the humor is really good. So there's another clue, but gratitude, that's the topic of the day. And did you have something going in mind when you came up with that one? Did that just come out of thin air, Uona?
No, I actually thought about sharing some of the research, neuroscience about gratitude, and of course some of the benefits of gratitude, and then some of the ways we can actually practice gratitude.
And that's
I did
true.
My homework.
You always do your homework, don't you?
I do.
I think you do. That's how you get a doctorate, folks.
I know, right?
Yeah. And interesting that we're talking once again about the scientific side of this whole thing, because Louis, I don't know if you heard about this. The professor at Yale University, Professor Lori Santos of the psychology department, she was the professor of the course that in the spring of 2018 produced the largest enrollment in any course in Yale University history. Mm-hmm. And as a reference point, the university halls, the lecture halls, can seat upwards of 600 people. For that first course, 1,182 people signed up.
Yes.
So they had a bit of an overage.
Yes.
And the course was so popular that they ended up turning it into an online recorded thing that they could share with the whole campus and with Yale alums and so forth, to the point where today it has been basically followed by 850,000 plus people.
Yes.
And today, this is what today is all about. Today, She released it to the world. So literally anybody in the world can go take this course at Yale University for free. You don't even have to pay any money for it, about how to achieve better wellness or well-being. In fact, I think it's called the science of well-being. So everybody can share in. And I mean, from an Abraham point of view, we know it's all about feeling good, you know, feeling a little bit better, a little bit better. What better than also to actually tie in ways that we know scientifically work? You know, now we're getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly, I have some friends on my social media page who are social worker, therapists, psychologists, and they're saying that, you know, while everyone is focused on the physical dangers, you know, the threats of the virus, there is an actual mental, social, emotional crisis brewing as a result that is putting a lot of stress on their services. So
no doubt about that.
Much needed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was driving to pick up my wife the other day from work. She's a nurse. So she's what they call a key worker and will always be working as long as she can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I was driving back and it was our first day in lockdown.
You guys have gotten there.
Oh, yeah, we're there. My children are no school for the foreseeable future.
Oh, okay.
And we're all at home, all alone. And we had a barbecue today, and it was all nice. But when I was driving back, this is the thing that was quite struck me with a force. Now, I'm not the most sensitive person in the world, but I could feel the fear of the people.
Mm. Yes.
I could literally feel it. It was palpable, and it was really interesting. You know, in the beginning, the newness of this, I don't think it's ever happened on the planet before.
Right.
Well, at least not in modern history.
Right, until next 100 years.
No, but in the past, they didn't have the communication to have the kind of...
No, they were able to down on the whole high planet. Levels. Yeah. They were able to achieve high levels of fear without the communication.
Yeah. Yeah, the inner communication can always... propagate that as well. So yeah, it was really interesting because, you know, you were talking about the mental aspect and, you know, from Abraham Hicks that thoughts create our reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, you've now got the understanding that, you know, you can play with all this physical stuff, but ultimately if you want to defend yourself, if you want to protect yourself, if you want to, be strong and healthy and keep wellness, then you want to be able to be thinking more about what you want and less than what you don't want. Mm. You want less of that fear and more clarity, you know, because if we focus on the virus and the problems and where we are now, we're going to propagate it. We're going to get more of it.
Yeah.
We're going to get more and more and more of it. So the people, you know, one of the things I really wanted to put out on this podcast today was about the fact that I really want to encourage people to not look where they are now, not look at the situation we're currently in, but look where we want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as that beautiful poem says, I don't know if you've seen that poem that's been running around.
There are a few of them, but tell us the one you have in mind.
I don't know all the words, but it goes to the idea that, you know, we're scared, we're locking ourselves down, we're at home, we're going to play and have fun with each other, we're going to do our best, and we're going to pick up the pieces at the end, and we're going to focus on a better life and things, and look at things, and we're going to contemplate more, we're going to meditate, we're going to start looking at life, where we're going, what we're doing, and we're hopefully going to visualize a better future for ourselves, and at the end of it, we're going to, you know, mourn the dead and move on, kind of. It's really beautifully done. I mean, I'm doing it no justice whatsoever.
Well, you got to find that poem and share it with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that. I'll give it to Walt and you can share it out. It's a lovely, it's on a YouTube video. It's everywhere. It's, you know, Deepak Chopra has been talking about that it is writing the history, the way he talks about that poem. Okay. It's very, very beautifully done. For you guys to listen.
Do you know who's the author?
I will. If you want to give me a few seconds, I can actually bring it up.
See, I thought that you were going to tell us about this meme that's been going around, that it wasn't so much a poem. It was more modern than that because it said, for the first time in human history, we now have a valid reason to flop down in front of the television and not move. Don't screw it up.
Yeah, I like that one too.
You know, well, that's kind of the case of the meme where the kid is like, I guess basically he's saying I wanted to stay home and just do nothing, but if now the government is making me do it, then I won't.
Now I'll go out and work for the first time in my life.
Exactly.
Obstinate to the last. I like it.
But you know, Louis mentioned Deepak Chopra, and he was for you know many years trying to expose the world to the idea of meditation and mindfulness, and you know, of course, it seems out there very Eastern type, but it's become a lot more popular. And of course, with this crisis, a lot of more people are more open to some of these so-called alternative ways of feeling and getting better. And it's similar with what's happening with gratitude in general, as Walt and I were talking, that, you know, Yale and Harvard and UCLA and University of Michigan and University of Miami and a bunch of other schools, all now have a Department of Mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they are researching quite heavily is the idea of gratitude and how gratitude affects the brain, the mind, and the body. And the research is quite amazing. Of course, it confirms a lot of what we were exposed to through law of attraction teachings. Sure. But yeah, it's nice to see them actually researching it now and documenting it and publishing it so that more people can be exposed to the idea.
And along the lines of what Louis was talking about a few moments ago, Harvard also has a, what do they call it? The Program in Placebo Studies. Mm-hmm. And of course, what he was referring to is sort of like the yin and the yang of placebo, the nocebo, the idea right. that you can actually, a person can actually decline, become sicker, or even die just yeah. because they believe they're going to get sick or going to die or something yes. along that line.
Absolutely.
And it reinforces, I honestly believe that this so-called crisis would be completely different in terms of the numbers of people infected, the number of deaths and so forth, if the medical establishment better accepted the concept of nocebo. It is gaining acceptance. I mean, mm-hmm. It's getting harder and harder to find people in the medical profession who will discount and dismiss the whole concept of placebo and nocebo. But nevertheless, the stigma, I guess you could call it, is still mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
And while that stigma is still there, it, in a crisis like this, it basically gets thrown to the wayside. Well, you know, maybe that there are going to be some good things that come out of this. I know it's hard to say that and believe it, but I think there are going to be good things that come out of this crisis. We're going to learn things. I think, you know, people's eyes are going to be opened on certain things. And I can't tell you what things are going to be in advance, but that's typically what happens. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when things get tough, it becomes a springboard to other better things. Like Louis says, you know, you know now what it is that you don't want. So you just pivot over to what you do want and boom. Something happens. Something big happens.
Yeah, along
with we cannot not become better after this.
Absolutely, that's true. Yeah,
it's basically impossible. I don't know if you want me to read it to you. I don't think it's going to be too long.
Yeah, give it a try. Why not?
And the people stayed at home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being. And were still, and listened more deeply, and meditated, and some prayed, and some danced. Some met their shadows, and the people began to think differently, and the people healed. And in the absence of people living, in ignorance, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed and the people joined together again and grieved their losses, and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully. And they have been healed. Mm. The poem was by Kitty O'Meara.
Hmm. Beautiful.
Mm. Very nice.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was playing a video and sometimes it was just too quick for me.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I thought you were so moved by the words that you had to take a pause.
I'm glad the performance was good.
Terrific dramatic reading, I must say.
Okay, that's the reason it was. It wasn't the video.
Yes.
It touches on a wide range of things. I think that's why that's such a powerful message, because it touches on so many different ways that people are coping with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, it kind of summarizes it in a nice way. So yeah, it is a good poem for that reason.
I mean, today the family was together. It's a Monday. We were out having a barbecue, cleaning things and having fun and kicking balls and, you know, something we'd not normally be doing on a Monday afternoon, you know.
That's true. I know. I get to have my husband here sitting next to me, which doesn't normally happen. Say hi, honey.
Hello. Yeah.
My brother Mark.
Yes.
There he is.
Yeah. So
who also used to be a co-host back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back when this was a little teeny tiny podcast.
Yes, I'm smaller. Okay, I'm excited. I want to share some of the neuroscience of gratitude.
And, good. We need to pick the energy up here, so let's do that.
Yes. So one of the things, speaking about the research that's happening in Harvard, one of the areas of research that they've been doing as far as the effect on gratitude on the brain in terms of the neurochemistry. And what they're learning is that gratitude has the same effect as the these drugs in terms of increasing dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin. Those chemicals, the feel-good chemicals that make us feel happy and joyful and excited and hopeful about life, gratitude has that same effect. They were actually able to measure this with functional MRI and other brain scanning techniques. And they were able to see which areas of the brain gets upregulated and which ones gets downregulated. And of course, the frontal lobe gets upregulated. You know, that's the executive director of your brain that kind of coordinates the activities of all the other parts of the brain. And the emotional part of your brain, especially the amygdala, which is that fear, anxiety-producing part of the brain, that gets dampened when you are in gratitude. And on the other side, they found that when you are in gratitude mode, that your brain actually goes from the beta vibration down into alpha. And you know, that's what a lot of people are trying to do with meditation. When you meditate, you try to get into those slower brain waves from the beta down to the alpha, you know, even into the theta. And they show that gratitude, expressing gratitude, however that comes for you, is one of the quickest way to get your brain waves to slow down and to actually get into that alpha brainwave state. And it also shifts you from the sympathetic functioning of your nervous system into that parasympathetic, which is the healing, regenerating, nurturing aspect of the body. So they're using anxiety to treat, of course, depression, but also anxiety. Even some of the chronic diseases are responding to gratitude. You know, heart disease, inflammation, immune system disorders are actually, they found that there's a lot of positive response that are happening when they ask patients to practice, to incorporate some kind of gratitude practice into their daily lives. So that's some of the things.
It's pretty powerful when you think about the fact that most people come to the idea of gratitude from the perspective of being thankful to somebody else. So it's something that you owe to somebody else. But what the research is showing is it's actually much more powerful for you. I mean,
right.
Benefits from it, which is not the way we normally think about these things.
Right. So the idea is, you know, to you know, gratitude means a lot of different things to different people, but it can mean just a shift in your focus from, you know, what's going wrong in your life to what is actually happening that's good, that's beneficial, that's positive. So when you shift your focus on that, your brain changes, your body changes, you know, of course that's the body-mind connection is something that we can't deny anymore. And so just shifting that energy. And we know that's from LOA. The LOA teaching is that when we express gratitude, it puts us into a vibrational state that, as Louis would say, that is in alignment with the universe. And so when you are in alignment with the universe, you know, it's well, you're in alignment, essentially.
You're tapping into the power that creates worlds.
That's
yes,
it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Because when we're not, we feel it. Those are those states that are, you know, the anxious, fearful, anxiety, those are the out of alignment states. But gratitude is one of the quickest way that gets us back into that state of alignment. And now they can actually use all these scientific equipment to observe it. And, you know, for some scientists, if they can't observe it, it doesn't exist.
which is great. Yeah. I mean, you're right. Science does want that. Now Josephine in the live stream is bringing up an interesting point. And I guess it's raising a question for me about what you know about this particular thing she's bringing up. She says, mm-hmm. I've been listening to 528 hertz. There are a couple of ambient music videos with that level of hertz to help with brain waves. Binaural beats are also very helpful. They have binaural beats for a number of categories, including gratitude, focus, attracting love, healing, etc. What do you know about that from the scientific perspective?
Well, just briefly, I know that I know the existence of these YouTube videos with the different brain waves, but I don't know of any research done on those.
Okay.
Yeah, with those. Okay. Well, I know that they've done research with, there's actually a study that compared gratitude practice, meditation practice, and binaural beats, and gratitude was more effective than all three.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because what happens is with the practice of gratitude, it changes the software and the hardware. In that, because there is more of an intention behind it, whereas with the binaural beats and maybe a meditation might have more intention, but you are actually deciding, I want to be grateful at this time. I want to express gratitude. I want to be in a place of gratitude. And one of the interesting things is that they found that even the people who were saying, oh, I don't know how to express, I don't know how to feel grateful, the fact that they actually had a desire was proving to have some benefit.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
well, it fits. I mean, it fits what we know, because the Abraham teaching and other teachers, a lot of people advocate the idea of what our friend Daniel calls micro shifting, making small steps at a time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That those small steps, they can add up pretty quickly if you can stay with them consistently. The hardest part is just continuing going when you first start. But if you keep going, it can be pretty powerful. In fact, Louis, you've talked numerous times about how you spend a lot of time just focusing on little things. And that's why you're never out of the vortex. Like you said earlier, you're always in, you know.
Yeah, right.
In alignment. But on those rare occasions where you're not, what's your favorite go-to? Do you use gratitude? Is that one of your ways to get there?
Yeah. So there's a lot of things I wanted to say, but let's start off with answering your question.
Okay.
So it's very simple to me now. I've got it very, very clear in my mind. When I know what I don't want, okay, I'm angry with my daughter or something, whatever it is. I'm frustrated or angry about something. And I'm immediately thinking, what is that thing I'm frustrated or angry about? What do I want to happen? And I go to the want and I focus on that. So it's just about taking every single situation, immediately packaging it as a subject, saying, what do I don't want? What do I do want? And then turning it around. I always say to my daughter, you know, I'm going to get angry with you. I'm going to get frustrated. But you will notice I will not stay there long.
Mm. Yes. that's an interesting fact too, because as you become more of a truly conscious creator and you experience more, or as I'll speak for myself, as I have experienced more good feeling times, times when I'm really in that alignment, in that good vortex place, when I do fall out, boy, do I want to get back in fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like before where I was just so used to being outside that it became normal. Now, I mean, I mentioned earlier today, I was in a place that was pretty rough and I wanted to get out of there fast. I mean, it was like you had just dropped me into a ball of, you know, a bowl of hot water, and I wanted to get out really, really quickly. And with my wife's help, I did. But yeah, the whole thing of starting off with, yeah, I really don't like where I am right now, powerful, because like you said, things come up, you begin to realize pretty quickly, you realize pretty quickly, okay, I have a much better idea of where I want to be. Now all I got to do is just bring myself to stay focused on that, which leads to, I'm sure, step two. So what's your second thing you were bringing up? Because you had a whole bunch of them, Louie. I know, I kind of interrupted you there.
Well, I wanted to, because I had done my thing in three sections, you know, the neuroscience, the health benefits, and then the ways that we can practice. So I...
So you want to come in? Louie, can you make a long list of things that you're going to address?
You own a, there's no problem. I am quite happy to listen to you.
Yes, yes. Make sure to note everything that you want to address. Because I want to share one more thing about the neuroscience. And actually ties in with what you were talking about, in that one of the ways that they were trying to show how gratitude affects the brain is not just in the short term, but in the long term, right? And what they're finding is that, like I was saying, it increases the release of these neurotransmitters, the dopamine and the serotonin, but it also changes the structure of the brain. So new neuronal patterns are laid down. And so you have this change in the actual structure that then persists. And so you become more, gratitude becomes more second nature to you. And as Walt was talking about, that it now becomes easier for you to switch into that place.
But, it's called the law of attraction.
Exactly. And that's one of the ways that they are actually confirming, like I said, some of the things that we had already been exposed to through the teachings of law of attraction.
So have they gotten to the point where they now call it the theory of attraction? I mean, they're not quite to call it the law yet, but
well, no, it's gonna take a lot for it to become a law. But, you know, one of the things that I was fascinated about is that gratitude increases your dopamine, which helps you focus and concentration. And they show that for children and adults as well, that it increases your IQ, your intelligence quotient, mm-hmm. and your EQ. So you become more socially aware, but you also become more creative. You're more of a problem solver. You have better ideas, better approach. You have a better vision, a better scope, you know, when you have developed this habit of gratitude. And the last thing I want to say about the, about gratitude and how it affects your brain, as I mentioned before, it down regulates the limbic system or the emotional system. So you are less likely to be subjected to an amygdala hijack.
Amygdala hijack.
Yes, okay. And that is the scientific term. That okay. is where that part of your brain, the amygdala, the fear, anxiety part of your brain, takes over and dominates all the other parts of your brain. And we are all subject to that under different circumstances. But with a practice of gratitude, you become less and less inclined to that, and more able to stay within that peaceful state, that alpha state, the flow state, as some researchers call it, that makes you better able to respond to, as you guys are talking about, the situations that come up in our lives. So mm-hmm. I'm done with neuroscience.
Oh, okay. End of lecture. Okay, we turn the microphone back over to you, Louie. What was next on your long list?
I just wanted to be grateful to, I'm going to replace that word, appreciative, to Josephine for the question. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I have played with those myself.
Binaural beats?
Yeah. All the different types of beats, etc. And what I've discovered was something Carolyn Mace said to me, and it blew me away. It's something that Ioana was talking about. And it's if you use candles to meditate, if you use binaural beats, etc., to meditate or to still your mind or to harmonize yourself, and then you are now using getting the candle to do the meditation for you. You're getting external things to do it. So if you take away the candle, you take away the beats, you take away something, then you're not as effective or et cetera. So, you know, we can't run around with the beats in our head all the time. We can't run around with candles around all the time. We can't run around with a lot of these aids. So, Ioana, you were talking about the idea that you – need to
the intentional part of it.
You've got to want it first.
Okay? Right. Yes.
It's got to come from you.
Right.
And you are your thoughts.
Yes.
Okay. Which includes a body, which made the body, etc. So, you've got to really want it. And that goes back to the simple factor of wanting.
Yeah.
Which is extremely simple. So when you really want to still the mind, when you really want that peace, you don't need a candle, you don't need the beats, you don't need anything. You can use the idea of appreciation. And again, why do we use the word appreciation often in Abraham Hicks circles rather than gratitude? Is because grateful has an opposite, which we use commonly, which is ungrateful. So it's a word with a vibration that has quite a strong opposite word. Okay, ungrateful is not an uncommon word. But appreciation doesn't have unappreciation. We don't think about that. We don't talk about it. We don't use it much at all. So you've now got a word that is vibrationally more clean. So that is the reason why I tend to use the word appreciation more. And I really like it. It really feels good to me, so I keep on using it. And that is the Abraham Hicks science behind it. So then when it comes to the whole studying this whole thing, it really amuses me because they are now finding that gratitude helps. And it's the most logical and common sense thing that does not really need to be studied that much. Now, there are people who enjoy it. So because they enjoy it, it's fine. And they appreciate it. And they find that it affects this part of the brain, that part of the brain. And that's very interesting to them. But ultimately, you know, you want to know what does it do for you in your life in the end of the day? And common sense tells you that if you really appreciate things and if you like things and you show how much you enjoy your daughter's little drawing or painting she's just done for you, etc., then it really has a ripple effect and everybody's starting to feel good. And then you focus on that feel good and you let it roll. And we've been doing that since time immemorial without having a big study about it. So it's just interesting to me. I'm not putting down the scientist. The scientist digs into it in different ways and understands different aspects to it. But again, it will be relative to the people they study, et cetera, et cetera. And a person who's doing this differently will have a different results and slightly different, maybe largely different. It depends. One day science says butter's good for you. Next day it says it's bad for you. Next day it says it's good for you. And as I've grown up over the years, I was quite confused about this because it's really into health. And I was like, what do I believe? And I started to realize that how do you make butter and how do you make margarine? Yeah. Margarine. Butter is you take a bit of milk and you shake it and you get it. And margarine, if you've ever been to a margarine factory, you'll never, or a alternative butter factory, you will never ever touch the stuff again in your life. It's revolting. So, you know, you start just using common sense. You know, it really doesn't have to be and again, I'm not putting down the scientists. They really have a role. And if they're enjoying it and if they're having fun with it, it's great. And if they're not trying to convince the rest of the world that their study is correct, they will win all the way to the bank. But if they start trying to take the whole of the rest of the world up with them, then they're going to crush under the weight of trying to do that.
It's funny because I never had to have a study to tell me that margarine was bad. All I had to do was taste it. And it was done.
I don't know if you ever remember, but back in the 1980s, I think it was, this email came around that talked about the difference between butter and margarine. And ever since that email came out, very shortly afterwards, I'd say maybe a year, because it went totally viral. But they removed the word margarine. You will not see the word margarine on any shelf anywhere. They have completely removed it. That email completely destroyed margarine. Now they call it better butter or butterly. Mm-hmm. It's butterly, or you know, they're using the word butter to lean on.
vegetable butter or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. They use the word butter all over the place.
I love the one that's called promise. It's like, you know, this has the promise of being like butter.
Oh, right. Yes.
They keep breaking their promise, but yeah.
But I want to go back to something Louis talked about in Dr. Lipton's book. The first half of the Beyond the Biology of Belief, he addresses why this type of research, you know, that is related to the law of attraction is so important, because for centuries there was a serious demarcation between the mind and the body. In fact, so much so that when scientists who professed that there was some connection, they were persecuted and killed by the church, because that's just heresy. And so we had a long history of that in science.
What
in
exactly
medicine.
Was heresy? What were they actually saying that they considered heresy? What was the statement?
That the mind has nothing to do with the body. There was no connection. And so what happened in the mind could not affect the body. And so if you were, you know, sick, for example, it had to only be something physical. It couldn't be anything that was going on in your mind. So just the idea that stress causes illness is something relatively new in the field of medical science.
That's interesting. I didn't understand that.
Yeah. In his book, he goes into it at length. I am not doing justice to it at all. He gives a whole history of all the scientists who were actually put to death as a result of them. Some of them very famous scientists. As in fact, I think Galileo was subjected to some of that persecution. But yeah, you know, the thing is that it's one thing for the people who already know this and accept it and believe it. And then there are those who, for whatever reason, whether it's because of their own aversion to that, the whole idea of the non-material world, or maybe it's because of their religious upbringing or whatever, they just have not been aware of this. And so there are different avenues to bring this information to them. And these types of studies actually opens up some people to these teachings and then lead them on to. But, you know, that's just one.
It's true. I have met these individuals that science is their religion.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And there are some people who law of attraction is their religion.
I'm still stuck on the original religionists, the ones who, according to what you're saying, said there was no connection between the mind and the body, mm-hmm. which is really mind-blowing when you consider some of the things they were advocating. I mean, if your body did any kind of fornicating, they were really
Absolutely.
I mean, if your mind said something that was against what they wanted you to say, they were really against that, and they'd take it out on your body. It's like, well, wait a minute. What happened here? Is there a connection or isn't there? Which way are you going to go on this, Mr. Churchman? You know, I don't get it.
Yeah, I forgot exactly what he was saying, but there was something about some of these scientists were saying that there's these energy in the field that is affecting us, and so they were like, no, that's separate. The energy is, you know, so like Galileo, he studied the cosmos as well as the human body, and they felt like he needs to choose. Are you going to study the cosmos or are you going to study body? Or, you know, and you just couldn't do both.
Well, that one I can get because, I mean, the churches in general, most religions treat the external world and the internal world as two separate things.
Exactly.
So that certainly fits that kind of parameter. Yeah.
And they felt like it was some kind of witchcraft if you tried to combine the two of them, or some crazy stuff like that.
Well, actually, I know a number of modern witches who would agree with that. They'd say, yes, that is crazy, you know.
The good crazy.
Yes. Anything else you wanted to add? I know you had a list, Louis, and we kept cutting you off, was there more that you wanted to answer there?
Not really. That's about it.
Okay, that's fair. No, that's good. That's good. When you mentioned the thing about gratitude versus appreciation, I've long felt the same way before I even read what Abraham had to say about it. Appreciation just felt a little bit better, so I sort of went with that. But I've also gotten to the point now where I don't really care about the difference so much that, you know, if appreciation doesn't feel right to me, I can't go to gratitude. Gratitude's an improvement.
That's right. Well,
I'm willing to go that way.
Yeah.
I mean, today.
I completely agree with you.
You know, I mean,
I agree with you.
Earlier today, I was in a place where, you know, indifference would have been an improvement. So I was ready to go for anything at that point.
Yeah,
the interesting thing about the virus or any ailment or any sickness is, first of all, you don't get it because you're focused on the sickness. You don't focus on getting the coronavirus and then get it. You are focusing on what you don't want in different areas. Therefore, you're vulnerable. Therefore, you get what's going around. Okay. Once you've got it and you keep on focusing on the coronavirus, then your focus on the coronavirus is maintained by your thought about what is. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting understanding about how you get it. Is by lowering your resistance or not staying in alignment, mm-hmm. by focusing more on what you don't want. So the mental aspect of this whole thing is very, very, very important. Yes. Keeping yourself happy, keeping yourself focused, keeping yourself focused on what is good about this whole situation, focused on what you can do now, how you can make yourself happy and your family happy, and what you're doing, and, you know, how you're staying at home, how you can play different games and do different things and do things that you maybe never been able to do before. Because I know our family's definitely bonding in ways we haven't done before. Mm-hmm. I'm really appreciating it.
So. Yeah.
You're kind of touching on something that I've been thinking about because, of course, the big topic of the day with the virus is all of the lockdowns and the self-quarantining and all that kind of stuff.
And how to get toilet paper. Don't forget.
That's right. I have it on high official authority. It is coming soon. So relax on that one.
In America or London?
Well, especially in America, because China is the number one producer of toilet paper, but the U.S. is number two. So America is definitely getting it soon, and not too soon as far as most Americans are concerned, since most shelves are empty. But, it's in high production right now, and it's going to be arriving soon. I don't know how long it's going to take to arrive in the UK, so I can't give you a prediction about that. But what I can tell you is that...
I know, America's the only country in the world. Sorry, I forgot.
It's the only one that I pay attention to because I'm living in it. If I was living in Angola, that's probably where
Americans
my attention would
that
be.
Aspect.
Well, you know, let's be perfectly honest, we earn it. But the fact is that, you know, we're focused on this quarantine stuff. We're focused on this, you know, the social distancing and all that kind of thing. And so I've been giving a lot of thought to it, asking myself, how effective is it? I mean, it's sort of taken as a truism today that it is effective. That's what the doctors are telling us and so forth. But I also look, I'm kind of weird this way because of my political science background, but I dig into the facts and I'm looking at, you know, which countries have the highest infection rates, which ones have the lower infection rates. And the ones with the highest infection rates are the ones who are doing the quarantining and the social distancing. And the ones who have the lower ones are not.
Right.
So I'm asking myself, you know, like, okay, how accurate is this? And so as I was kind of perseverating about that one, it finally occurred to me, yeah, there actually is a benefit to both of those, but it's not what they're talking about. Mm. The benefit to social distancing is that it helps calm the mind. People believe it's going to work. It's the placebo effect. They believe that it's going to help protect them. They believe it's going to help, you know, slow the whole process down of spreading the virus. And so because they believe it, it's true.
Flatten the curve, they say.
Flatten the curve. That's right. Well, now I understand what flattening the curve really means. It isn't what they say. Well, kind of means what they say it is. But the actual truth is it's just a way to give everybody to take a breath, which is ultimately what meditation is about.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just thought I'd share that insight because I think it actually helps to recognize we are taking a breath. that, I mean, as much focus, and let's be perfectly honest, we've been doing shows now, last 7 or 8 shows have all been about coronavirus. Everybody's talking about it and so forth. And we haven't let go of it, not completely. We haven't let go of it, but boy, we are moving away from it. We're paying less attention to it, less than we were, say, 3 days ago, 5 days ago, a week ago. You know, it's the attention level's going down. I just kind of a side story. There are many people who are in politics who, and the one that obviously comes to mind right now is our president, Donald Trump, who are, you know, they're criticized for the crises that they generate and so forth. One of the comments that my wife Louise made when Donald Trump got elected is because of the nature of who he is, if you pay less attention to him, he will actually lose power. And so that's been kind of like an ongoing thing, sort of like a running joke in the family here. Well, here we have not only this experience of what we're talking about right now with, you know, the idea of quarantining and social distancing helping to calm the mind because we're taking our attention away from it. Interestingly enough, the news media are doing the same thing with Donald Trump. Because apparently Donald Trump has, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention, so I don't know the details of this. People who've been paying attention probably could correct me on this a little bit. But apparently at his White House news conferences that he does every day, his briefings, he has been giving so much crap to certain news services that don't report the way he wants them to, that the news services are thinking about stopping coverage of him.
What a concept.
And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I mean, this could be the end of Donald Trump. You know, if he stops getting the attention, what happens to him? Does he implode? I don't know.
I think it's partly some of the effect of his briefings have been, to say to the least, not quite what he had been hoping. As far as I know, the stock market kept responding negatively every time.
Yeah, it's been kind of in a nosedive. That's true. Yeah. Exactly. But regardless of that, I mean, the point is there's a correlation there. You can see the parallel. On the one hand, we got the social distancing and the quarantining and the lockdowns and so forth helping to calm the mind. And now the news media have found another way to help calm the mind. I mean, by the time, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, we could have forgotten about both the coronavirus and Donald Trump. Wouldn't that be something?
There's an option.
I'll never forget what my dad once said. He said the Third World War would be started by reporters.
Oh, wow.
Not far from the truth. Well, from the truth.
That's job security for them, for sure.
If you're a reporter, we apologize, but only no.
Okay, I want to leave with my 5 list. You know, I'm always in lecture mode. But 5 things that you can do to incorporate a gratitude practice in your life, your quarantine social distancing time right now. You can keep a gratitude journal, or you can keep a gratitude jar. You have a nice jar and you keep, just write little things you're grateful for, fold it up, put it in. You could get a gratitude partner, get together, you know, online with someone and share the things that you're grateful for.
Keeping 6 feet apart, of course.
Right. And you can talk to yourself. You can stand in front of the mirror and talk to yourself about yourself and the things that you're grateful for. There's the gratitude meditations, of course, where you actually sit and think about and feel and experience, you know, the good things in your life, the people you love, the things you're grateful for, the happy memories. And, of course, this is one made famous by what's his name? I forgot this. I always forget that professor who said that happiness leads to success. But he says you could write thank you notes, thank you emails, thank you texts, and just send them out, you know, to people that you know, that you appreciate, that you're grateful for, that you wanted to communicate this thing. Now is a perfect time to do something like that. And so, you know, try to make this a daily thing as much as possible so that this becomes part of your routine.
Yeah, those are all good suggestions. And when we incorporate anything like that, I mean, like Louis was saying, it almost doesn't matter what the external one is. As long as, if you're doing them, you know, and you're looking at it from whatever perspective you choose, whether it be a gratitude or appreciative or whatever, just the doing of it.
Yes.
Is where you're climbing out. That's where you're making that shift.
You're elevating your vibration. You're lifting your energy. You're realigning yourself, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yona, I had a mentor at one stage, and he was an American guy, a doctor. And, he said to me, send me if you want to an email every day about things you're grateful for. And I was sending him, I'm grateful for my family, blah, 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 all these things. And then on the third day, I had some incident that was really harsh. And I said, I'm really grateful for this harsh incident because it helped me see this. And he immediately wrote back and he said, you know what? Very, very few people do that. I said, do what? He said, give me gratitude lists and definitely not on day three that that are based around what you don't want that has triggered what you do want.
Yeah, that's rare. And, yeah.
Struggle. Oh. The S
I said that help you focus on what you do want. What you do want.
when it comes up, you can be appreciative of it, right? So it all ties in.
Yeah, so I would suggest to people really dig deep and find out what you want.
Yes.
There you will find all the gratitude and appreciation in the world.
Yes.
It's a really important point because, like I said earlier, I was feeling today, I had a point today where I was just practically in meltdown mode. And when you're in the midst of that, it's really hard to remember what it is that you want, what it is that you feel good about, because that's so far away from you. But it's also the right thing to be focused on.
And as Yona was saying, the science of proven. That
come over to the dark side. That's right.
I've got no problem with it.
It changes your brain in good ways. So yeah,
because the universal law of attraction will give you more. You know,
absolutely. Yes, that's right. You get more of it. And I saw this quote, and I love it. If you can't go outside, go inside.
I like it.
Which is what I did. Because when I was in that mode earlier today, literally. I know this is going to sound really strange. My breaking point came after a whole series of negative things happened, things that I definitely didn't like, where I just needed to be alone. And at that moment, my cat jumped in my lap and said, I want a lot of attention right now. I just don't have anything to give you right now. You got to say this. I mean, and literally, I just put him aside and I leaned over and I put my head in my hands just because I needed to stop the spinning.
Yeah.
Which was exactly what I needed to do.
Yes. Well, you know what they call these points on the forehead over here? Mm-hmm. I know I'm cutting in and out video.
That's all right.
Those points, they call them the oh my God points.
That's where
really
I was.
Do. They can help a lot. They can really help.
Incidentally, that's
where my hands were.
In neuroscience, this is where your frontal lobe, this is where your right interior temporal cortex exists that controls your gratitude thinking. So it all ties in.
It's all
perfect.
Cool, man.
Perfect. I love it. And it worked. It worked because, and not only did that work through the touch, but because I just stopped, literally because I couldn't do anything more, my brain just froze. It was like, you know, I was moving and moving and moving, and then the whole thing just crosswired and it wouldn't function anymore.
Yeah.
It just stopped functioning. So I stopped functioning. I went into that mode. I had my hands on my forehead. I just stayed there for about a minute and a half to calm and breathe, and I realized that what I was doing without intending to
was Jinshin.
Well, it was Jinshin. Yeah, it was Jinshin. Jinshin mashed with meditation. It was the two of them combined together. Yeah.
Works very well.
Yeah. And I can't say it completely pulled me out. It didn't, but it did put me in the right direction.
Yes.
I still didn't have a good, clear idea of what I wanted, but now
but
I was.
But you were moving up the vibrational scale.
I was moving up. Yeah. And that. To me, that is the biggest key. When you're in that place where it all feels bad, you can't remember what it is that you want. If you can just stop long enough to give yourself a breath, it turns around.
Yes.
You know, Walt Abram was saying this, and I think it's so important to reiterate it, that a lot of people focus on somebody who's really down and out and poor, and then they become really successful and wealthy. So you got the massive extremes.
Oh yeah, those are the big stories.
Those are the big celebration.
But yeah.
Abram says the big celebration is when you go from a slightly lower vibration to a higher one.
Yes,
no kidding.
Yes,
I agree.
Yes,
and when you do that more often. So we really want people just to focus on just the next step. Just the next little step. Yes, just the next step.
They may not grab the headlines, but they are the best ones because they're the easy ones. They happen much more frequently. They're so easy to happen. The other ones, boy, you may be able to reproduce it, but you're going to go through a lot to get there. This one is a whole lot easier to get there.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a speaking of things going around, I'm trying to see if I can bring up my Facebook page, but somebody shared a chart, and on the chart, what it said was, they had on one side the current situation and things you can be grateful for in spite of it. So it says on one side, I'm stuck at home. And but in the other side, it says, but I get to be in a safe place with my family and spend time with my family. And the other one says, I might get sick. But on the other hand, by staying inside and washing my hands, I decrease my chances. And you know, just a list of it, that stuff like that. So, you know, that's one of the challenges that you can embark on, just trying to find things that in spite of what may look like something, you know, bad. Yes.
Silver linings help us get to that more calm side. That's why they're there. That's what the usefulness of a silver lining is. That's why Abraham talks about pivoting. Pivoting is about finding silver linings.
Pivoting, yes, pivoting and reframing the whole thing.
Absolutely true. Hey, with a couple minutes left, I want to make sure I get our promos in. And basically, they're very simple. First of all, I want to encourage those of you. Well, first of all, I want to thank those of you who are subscribers for being subscribers. Talk about gratitude. I'm really grateful for all of our subscribers because they're wonderful. And the numbers have been really strong, even during this crisis, and maybe even especially during it. I think more and more people have been tuning in according to what I'm seeing. So thank you very much. For those of you who are not yet subscribing, we want to encourage you to become one. Every single day, 5 days a week, we're doing this program, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. New York time. And every show is a little bit different. Sometimes they're a lot different. Last Thursday was wildly different. But the point is that we covered almost everything that's associated with life. It's not, I mean, law of attraction touches everything in life, and that's what you get. So get it 5 days a week, and every single one of them is about being associated with, you know, the positive side, the good feeling side of life. So if you're looking for a way to climb out, there's another way to climb out. You tune into us. We help you get there. We help you climb out just because you're listening to something that feels good. So subscribe. Just go to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net, and you will see at the top of the page how to do it in one or two clicks, sometimes three, depends on your price and what software you got installed. But we'll help you get there. And then after that, everything comes streaming right to your device every time that we publish it. And check us out on YouTube, because not only will you see Louis got his video background. I'm not wealthy enough to have a video background. I have a still picture, but I've got a background now too. So, you know, we're double background here.
I'm going to have one next week, I promise.
So we're going to have backgrounds all over the place here. This makes being a YouTube subscriber well worth it. How's that for a pitch, you know? Why not?
Of course.
But just go to YouTube, do a search for LOA Today podcast videos, click the subscribe
button. Love your background, Walt.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Click the little bell, and just like that, you'll be subscribed and catching all of us that way too. So check us out on our podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out in every way. We love having you as listeners. Thank you so much for your support. So, okay, we got about 3 minutes left. We've really cruised through. I mean, this is the way shows go when they're really flying. You know, it's just like, whoa, where did the hour go? So we need to, like, find a way to tie this all together. So you're the one who brought up the topic. I'm going to let you do the main tying together, and then Louis can kind of summarize the whole thing after that. So
okay.
What's the takeaway?
To remember that gratitude is as good as those expensive antidepressants that you can buy.
And not toxic.
And no side effects, exactly. In fact, the side effects are all beneficial, right?
Right.
And so not only does it help you, you know, calm and be peaceful, but it also strengthens your brain, makes you more intelligent and more creative, and mm-hmm. puts you into flow. So what's there to lose? Try it. You'll like it.
And Louis, by the way, Nasha said that she loves the beach scene, so I just wanted to pass that along.
Hi, Nasha. I thought you were joining us. So all I would suggest to everybody is just try and find ways of enjoying it and find, you know, try find out your reason for being, find out what you want, because mm-hmm. it'll make all the difference. Focus on it and let's go for it. Let's put all our minds on where we want to go, not where we are.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah, it's great. It's a great thing to practice too. I mean, like you guys were saying earlier, you got to do this every day. This is like an ongoing thing. And
well,
what better way to do it than with something as easy as that? You know, what you feel grateful about. I mean, everybody can, if you really put your mind to it, you can come up with something. It's not that difficult. I mean, at the very least, you got a place to live. There's a starting point, you know?
Yes. And you got internet access if you're listening.
Which unless you exist. Yeah, toilet paper. Yeah. Especially you've been hoarding it, you know? You're good for the next 6 months. So very good, guys. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Thank you, live streamers. And especially thank you to our podcast listeners as well. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.